Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The Raiders won, Rob, 33-27. Lamar Jackson, you mentioned turnovers. Lamar Jackson had two costly fumbles in the second half. Yeah,
huge
big fumbles. Here's what I want to throw at you, Rob. Did Lamar Jackson cost him that game?
100%.
Wow, I'm shocked you went there.
No, I mean, you can't give up the
MVP pick.
No, I know, but you can't give up the football like that. And I get it. They were pressuring him. They were all over him. But you got to control the football. And that was a game that they were up 14-0, Chris, right?
Yep.
Remember
and
the way they started?
Do you know the stat on that?
What's that? When they were up
14? Under John Harbaugh, they were 81-0, Rob, when leading by 14 points.
Yeah, but you know what the equalizer of that is when you give up the football in the second half.
Right.
And that's where games are won and lost with the turnover battle. I know it's so cliched and what coaches talk about, but it's true. It's like in baseball with walks, Chris. Walks always come around the score, right?
Right.
Like you walk a guy or two. That the Iowa game when the Yankees lost to the White Sox and Tim Anderson hit the walk-off, what happened right before Tim Anderson hit that walk-off home run? They walked the guy.
Right, right.
It cost you.
Right.
And turnovers cost you. That's why I'm going to say that he cost him the game.
Well, look, both turnovers were in Ravens territory, and both of them led to touchdowns. All right, so you do have that, and they were both in the last 15 minutes of the game. So I feel you on that. And there's no excusing turnovers. However, even with the turnovers, Rob, they were up 3 points with 37 seconds to play. You've got one of the best defenses, allegedly, in the league. And Las Vegas had no timeouts. So if you give me those odds, I'm taking my chance. I like my chances with the Ravens because my defense is supposed to be able to shut down the Raiders and keep them from getting in the field goal position. Instead, they promptly gave up a 20-yard pass and an 18-yard pass on consecutive plays. And next thing you know, the Raiders are kicking a 55-yard field goal to tie it and force overtime. So, Rob, I'm going to put it – there's more about the defense. Well, again, supposed to be one of the best defenses in the league. Couldn't get pressure on Derek Carr, even though they were blitzing all night long. And so they gave up 300-plus yards to Derek Carr after halftime. May had him looking like freaking Peyton Manning out there. And then, so I'm going to blame the defense, and I'm going to blame the offensive line. My man Lamar Jackson, Rob, was running for his life.
I thought it was a replay of the Super Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's real talk. I mean, with that dilapidated Kansas City front line, you saw that Pat Mahomes was running for his life. And their best offense, now they did run the ball well. And let's just keep it real. Justice Hill, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. I don't know that they would have done it any better with those guys. You know, Tyson, Williams, his name.
That wasn't an issue.
Right, they ran the ball fine. That's their culture. They got to, you know, they can run the football. So they did that well. But their best offense to a large degree was Lamar, make something happen. Shake these dudes up. Get out of, you know, they're rushing you. Juke, make some moves, and make
and
things
run for
happen.
50 yards, right.
Yeah. And even one his first touchdown pass that made it 14-0, Rob, was to Hollywood Brown at the end, back of the end zone. I don't know if there's another quarterback in the league that could have made that play because he had to avoid like three Ravens to get some room to throw the ball. He rolled out and threw it to, or he ended up scrambling out toward the sideline and threw it to Hollywood Brown at the end of the end zone. So He was sacked three times, Lamar. He was pressured on 18 out of his 33 dropbacks. And because of those reasons, I'm going to put the majority of the blame on the offensive line and on the defense. I'm with you on Lamar. As far as the turnovers, you can't have him. He even acknowledged that. But I think it's a situation kind of like when people criticize Giannis, Rob. Well, you take Lamar away, and that team's getting blasted. So I just think he did what he could, and I don't put the blame on him.
I hear you, but when you're setting up a team in your own territory, Chris, and you talked about it earlier, you could have a good defense. You give them the ball in your own territory, and they don't have to go far. It puts a lot of pressure on the defense, and so I don't think it's fair. Those two touchdowns were gimmies, not gimmies, but you know what I mean.
But the last field goal, you know, they had
no,
the
I get it. I mean, yeah. You move it up, and you're it's a 50-50 proposition that you're going to kick a 55-yarder as time expires. It ain't easy. I've seen many of those go awry, and you hold on, and you win, you know. But
right.
I think you can't give up, and you said it, two scores, 14 points. It's a big turnaround when you give it all up right. Like that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Toronto Blue Jays are making a run, making a push. They won 15 of their last 17 to take command and leadership of the wild card race. So they are getting it done, and the man who is leading them is none other than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Of course, his dad, awesome player. But Vlad Jr. is taking it to an even higher level, I would say. And he just hit, Rob, his major league leading 45th home run yesterday to help the Blue Jays improve to 12-1 this month. And he is already that homer, Rob, it eclipsed the single season high set by his wonderful father in Montreal with the Expos in 2000. All right. Now, here's the deal. Vlad Guerrero is going for the Triple Crown. He leads the American League in batting average. He's hitting .318. He leads, as I said, in home runs with 45. And he's tied for third, four back in RBI with 103. He also leads the league in OPS, second in the majors. And the question is this, Rob, is he going to be the MVP? Now, the odds are still heavy in Shohei Ohtani's favor because Shohei, of course, is doing something we haven't seen since Babe Ruth. That's right. Something we haven't seen since Babe Ruth. He's awesome at the plate. I know he's only hitting .259. But the analytics geeks tell me batting average doesn't matter anymore. So he's got 44 home runs. He's been leading the league for most of the season. Now he's second, obviously. Top 10 in RBI with 94. And Rob, I'm going to throw a little something extra in there. He's tied for sixth in the league with five triples. And he's tied for eighth with 23 stolen bases. And, of course, to top it off, he's a hurler supreme. 9-2 on the mound, 3.36 ERA on the bump, 136 Ks in 115 innings pitch from the rubber. So to me, Rob Parker, I'm sorry, I like what Vlad Jr.'s doing. He is the man. I'm a fan. He's all that. But Shohei Ohtani is the MVP.
Just one question. Where are the Angels in the playoff race, Chris?
You know. No,
it doesn't matter. I'm asking you. Just
Mike
answer
Trout's
the question.
Mike Trout's got three MVPs. He's met the Wilds once.
I'm asking
They're
you.
Like, they're not even in the playoff race.
Okay.
They got
all
the
right.
sixth worst record in the AL.
All right. I'm not saying that you have to be in the playoffs to make to win the MVP.
It's not football or basketball.
Okay.
I know that.
But here's the difference. And I'm the biggest Shohei Ohtani guy. I am.
You're a detractor.
You're trying to paint me like I don't like him. I think he's an unbelievable player. I can't believe I'm watching somebody who's pitching and playing every day. It's unbelievable. We haven't seen it since Babe Ruth. And we didn't see Babe Ruth. So, Chris, I appreciate Shohei and how talented he is. But it's a novelty act.
What?
It ain't what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is doing. And he's going for the triple crown. You mean it will be the first time in baseball history that a guy can win a triple crown and not win the MVP? It ain't gonna happen. And here's the other part. He's playing in meaningful games, Chris, in September. They've come charging back, and Vlad is doing his thing. Ohtani's batting .259. Vlad Jr.'s batting .321. You can poo-poo batting average all you want. There's a huge difference between those two numbers. And Ohtani's a third starter. Stop it. He ain't the ace. He's a third starter. He's fine. He's good. He's great. But don't make it out like the impact that he's had with the Angels is close to what Vlad has. That's what an MVP is. He's rallied the troops. They passed the Yankees. They're a game up on the Yankees. They lead the wild card. You just said it, 15 out of 17. It ain't like Vlad is here for the ride. He's leading the charge. That's what you want from an MVP candidate. Not playing meaningless games in September where you could just swing for the fences, right? Because there's nobody's pitching you. There's no game on the line. The numbers are inflated. They're phony. They're baloney. That's what they are.
What's baloney is your logic. First of all, everybody's swinging for the fences in Major League Baseball nowadays. That's not just relegated to the also-rans. All right, Rob Parker, stop it. This is the equivalent. What Shohei Ohtani is doing, and I don't care if he was the fifth member of the bullpen, he's pitching. When have we ever – and we've never seen a pitcher. Like you said, we didn't see Babe Ruth. For all we know, it's fiction. Where's the tape? All right, where's the tape? Did Babe Ruth really do this? We know Shohei Ohtani is doing it for real, Rob Parker. This is the equivalent of someone in the NFL playing quarterback and linebacker. Notice I didn't say cornerback. Even that would be impressive.
I thought you were going to say linebacker. All right, linebacker. All right.
Because Shohei is a power hitter, and he's a power pitcher.
Who was that fat quarterback for the Giants? Do you remember that he had that big guy? Yeah, he played for Kentucky.
Oh, yeah,
Rob,
yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. He's a left-hander.
Jerry Lorenzen, the hefty lefty, rest in peace.
Right.
That's right.
He passed?
He did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
okay.
Did you see last night
I was saying
310-pound fullback?
I was saying, Chris, like he could have played line. You know what I mean? Like, he was so big.
Yeah, well, probably he was big enough. That's for darn sure. Yeah. But you know what, Rob? It's not okay. Is somebody playing quarterback and linebacker, and not just playing them, but playing them at an all-pro level? This is like having Aaron Rodgers and Ray Lewis balled up in the one. And I'm going to give you an NBA equivalent, too. This is like when Russell Westbrook won the MVP because he averaged a triple-double, Rob. We had never seen it since Oscar Robertson. We didn't think we'd ever see it again. Magic, Jason Kidd, LeBron, Penny Hardaway, none of them did it. And here comes this 6-3 whirlwind doing what we never thought we'd see. That is the thing with Shohei. We never thought we'd see this. He's got to get it. I get it. I'm not trying to belittle the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown, to me, still is incredible.
It is. The
but
last one to do it.
It's not as incredible as what this dude is doing. That's all I'm saying.
The last guy to do it was Miguel Cabrera in 2012, Chris. It doesn't happen that
often. Do you think getting the Triple Crown is as impressive is what Shohei is doing?
It is from, let's look. No, Shohei is in a league by himself, but we don't have to give him the MVP for that. Like there are other things that, the problem I have, if both of the teams, Chris, weren't in the playoff mix, then maybe I would be with Shohei, okay? And that's why Trout has won before, because his numbers were so much more impressive than the other guys in the league. So you didn't care about the record. That's how impressive. If Shohei was batting .310 and Shohei was in the top five in RBIs and very close to Vlad's numbers, Chris, yes, he wins hands down. But he's not that close in those other numbers, and that's the problem I have. He has the home runs. He doesn't have the batting average. He's in the middle of the pack in the RBIs. He's not in the top.
Well,
this is a chance.
He's
in the top 10.
Tied for 10.
Okay,
yeah.
But I mean, Vlad is tied with the top three guys, right? I mean,
he's
as far
third,
as
yep.
RBI. Right. So,
but here's the thing, Rob. Other than batting average, the other numbers.
OPS, you said he leads in OPS.
No, okay, but I'm saying Vlad has had 60 more at-bats than Shohei has. So certainly home runs, Shohei's hitting them at a better pace. And RBI is probably close, if not in Shohei's favor, as far as at-bats. So, you know, I hear you. I don't want to – and I obviously, we take winning into account. I mean, that's important. But it's just different in baseball. Because, you know, one guy, even a guy that pitches and hits, can only do so much in baseball.
And we've seen it happen. Andre Dawson, Chris, I believe, was the first to do it. Be an MVP on a last place team.
And they aren't last place. Are they last in their division? They're sixth in the American League.
Right.
I don't think they're last in their division.
But I'm just saying, for a team that didn't make it to the playoffs.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. But, Rob G, you got some numbers for us, right? Shohei's the big favorite, right?
That's right, Chris. According to our friends at Sports Betting Dime, I would have went to BetMGM if they didn't have the odds posted yet. But according to SportsBettingDime.com, as of yesterday, Shohei Ohtani is currently the favorite, which is not really surprising. But what is surprising is that he's a minus 6,000. For those of you who don't bet, who don't put shekels on things like Rob Parker, that's basically them saying he has a 98% chance of winning the award.
Right. No, I mean, I get people because of what he's doing, and we've never seen it. But remember, it's the baseball writers who watch all the games, who are going to look at this charge and this run by Toronto, and it could sway it, Chris. What if Shohei has a final 15 games and he doesn't play that well? Is he still and the Blue Jays,
I'll give you that. If he fizzles, he ends up hitting .250 and maybe only hits one more home run.
Or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
where he fizzles at the
end. I'll give it to you. But what if Vlad does that, for that matter?
No, I get it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Does he have to win the Triple Crown to get the MVP in your view?
I think he does. I think that's what would tilt the scales.
So right now he wouldn't win it,
right.
Okay.
Because of Ohtani. But I'm saying if he does and he's within three RBIs of the lead, so he's definitely in play.
Right, he's got a shot. Right,
he's got a shot. And Chris's batting average is what? Is it .321? The last I looked,
.321. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if he has those three, and they storm back and they make the playoffs or whatever, he's gonna have a great shot. It's gonna sway some people, and especially if Ohtani doesn't finish strong. But I will give you, if it's not a triple crown, people could justify not voting for him.
Okay, so you think if he hits gets a triple crown, you think he should be the MVP?
Yes.
Do you think he will? If he gets the triple crown,
I think he has a great shot if he gets the triple crown.
I'm gonna tell you like we tell our callers. This is the Odd Couple. No, I think he's got a great shot. Is he going to be the MVP? You know the writers. If he gets the triple crown, is he going to be the MVP?
Yes, he is. He will be. Okay. He will be the MVP with the triple crown. I believe writers will take that into account. It's so hard to do. It's only happened a handful of times. You think pitching and playing baseball and playing every day is hard? Try winning a triple crown. It just hadn't been done by that many players.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Can you increase your power?
Do you need the power?
Yeah.
Well, here it comes.
Power.
Can you feel the power?
Power.
It's Parker's Power Ranking.
Man, let's go. Week one. I'm pumped. Let's make this happen.
Number five,
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know everybody's celebrating like they did something special. They committed four turnovers, gave up nearly 500 total yards to the Cowboys, and somehow, some way, found their way to win. I know everybody wants to make it, oh, Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that. Hey, they were fortunate to come away with a win in that situation.
Number four.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Wow.
I'll give them credit, but they beat the hapless Chicago Bears. The Bears weren't a playoff team. When this season is said and done, it'll be yet another team that Matthew Stafford has beaten that doesn't finish with a 500 record. So before you beat your chest and make it like he conquered the world in week one, and oh, did you see how he carved up the Bears and this, that, and the other thing? Don't buy into it. It didn't happen.
Number three.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Did you watch the sleepwalk from that team in the first half of that game? I mean, again, very fortunate to come away with a win. Cleveland gave it up at the end, and Mahomes was able to stick in there long enough and make plays at the end to win the game. That 75-yard touchdown, that's a killer. You can't give it up. But the Browns had a good shot at that game, and they gave it away. The Chiefs instead, they win the game. They're 1-0, and they're my third-best team.
Number two.
This is hard for me to say because you know I'm not big on the Steelers. In fact, I don't have them making the playoffs. But
wow.
I don't have them making the playoffs. But I will give them credit, as Charlie Hayes, who used to play for the Yankees, said. They went to Buffalo, and they won a big game. They were out of that game early on. Buffalo was winning. That defense kept them in the game, eliminated the big strikes that the Bills are now known for. I mean, I was impressed, and then they did just enough to win that game, and Buffalo is off to, Pittsburgh's off to a surprising start. That's a huge win to start the season, especially when things didn't look good in the first half. I thought this team was dead. They didn't look like it in week one.
Number one.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Wow.
I know. Wow. It sounds like a car crash. And wow. I know a lot of people are like, they beat the Lions, so what?
Yeah,
it's no big deal. Right, go ahead, say it. They beat the Lions.
They beat the Lions.
What I
Look
love
at you giving love to the Lions.
A West Coast team coming east, and they were steamrolling the Lions. They were up 41-17. This team has a good defense. Offensively, they were making things happen. I mean, the Lions did come back.
Yeah, they only won by eight.
And Jared Goff had the stat Padford numbers, and I'll give you that, picking up stuff late in the game. But this game was 41-17. The 49ers looked like world beaters. on the road in Detroit. I think that's a great start in a tough division. So the San Francisco 49ers, just like the San Francisco Giants, are number one in my ranking.
Number one.
I'm shocked. I'll be honest, Rob. You weren't doing too badly until number one. And I get it. Look, do I think the Steelers are the second best team in the NFL? No. And I'm not sure you do either. But they did have an impressive win. I think New Orleans had the most impressive win of the weekend. And then you can argue the Steelers were next. So I would have given you that at number two, even though I think the Chiefs are number one, Tampa Bay's number two. But San Francisco, number one? I really thought you were going with the Saints.
Tell
me why you kept the Saints out of the top five, even if they weren't number one.
They played well, but I thought, was that the New Orleans or was that Green Bay? And I think a lot of it was
maybe it was
Green Bay.
Both, though.
Nah, but I'm going to say if I had to pick one, if I'm going to pick one, it was Green Bay. Green Bay didn't play well. They were never really in that game. So I just can't, say that the Saints are that team that beat Green Bay.
You know what
I mean by that? So I'm going to go that was an egg being laid by Green Bay.
My biggest takeaway from this poll, these rankings, is that you believe in Dan Campbell, the Lions coach, because you obviously are putting some stock in the beating, taking down Dan Campbell and the Lions.